back of your bulletin today. And if you brought your Bibles and you want to crack them open to Ephesians chapter 5, that's where we're going to be. We're continuing our investigation of Ephesians, my life and his church. The next couple weeks we'll talk about children and parents and the armor of God. And then the 24th we're at family camp. Then I have a different series that I'm going to start the 31st that I'll tell you more about later. So today is July 3rd, and we're going to talk about wives and husbands, and we're going to focus on Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. So as you experience your normal life day to day, are you ever concerned about the state of marriage in our culture? Does that ever hit you? How many people you know, or even family members that you know, that aren't participating in God's sanctity of marriage? Have you noticed how bad it is out there? I meant to ask our worship leader, Marcia, how many of the children in her class were from original parent families. I bet the number of children that come that are still with the original biological mom and dad is not anywhere near the majority. Single parent homes and his kids, her kids, that's more the norm in our culture, isn't it, than families staying together. How about this? How important is marriage and family to God? God is real serious about marriage and family. So serious that he calls us his children when we become born again. And Christ lived a sinless life for 33 years and is waiting patiently for his bride, the church. And it's a real serious thing with God, this marriage deal. And so as we look at it today, is your marriage one that people would say, whoa, I wish I had a marriage like that? When they look at yours, would they say that? For a while, for Victorious Christian Living, I would teach a discipleship training called the Life Ministry Training, and I had 4 full hours to talk about marriage, not just 23 minutes. And I remember having this phenomenon what happened that I could illustrate over in Davenport, Iowa. I was finished one of those teachings, and a cute young girl that played the keyboard in that church wanted to talk to me about marriage and wanted to talk to me about husbands and wives. And she had some really good questions, and so I answered her questions and so forth. And then at the end of the second night, everybody was packing up to leave, and she came up to talk to me, and she gave me a piece of paper with her phone number and her home address on it and asked me if I would come over someday and continue the dialogue with her about this husband and wife thing. About that time, Sam Hess was walking up right behind her, and I said, honey, no, thanks. You know, I've got a wife, and I'm really happy with what I have. And she says, you not only can have her, but you can have all of me too. And Sam's face went, and I said, once upon a time, dear, you know, I probably would have considered that, but Jesus and I don't do that, you know? And she did some sales marketing of what the benefits of that would be, and Samuel's face just got bigger. She didn't know he was right behind him. I was trying not to crack up looking at Sam and trying to be patient. But I found that happening a lot, that ladies would find somebody who had a great marriage, and they'd say, that's the guy that I want. And I would tell them, well, honey, if I take you up on that offer, that just proves that I'm not the guy that you want. And they'd go, oh. But is your marriage one of those that people say, oh, man, I wished I got to live like Wilmer and Jules? They do so much, you know? Is yours like that? Could be. So, the key to marriage success is your first point on your outline. Ladies, first is your second point. And the third point is, gentlemen, carry the larger load. And open your Bibles with me and look at Ephesians 5:21. And this is what it has to say to us. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So point one on the outline is the key to marriage success is I submit to you. That's the key. I submit to you. Now, wait a minute, Wilmer. It's Independence Day, and you're talking about me surrendering to my marriage partner? Whoa, wait a minute. No, no. I'm fighting for my independence in this marriage. Right? There's a lot of people who fight to stay independent rather than submit. But God's way is to submit. And I start by submitting to Jesus. Everything begins at Jesus. It all starts there. That's where it all starts. I submit to Christ first. It's Jesus and me. Or it's Jesus or me. And the best way to do it is Jesus and I. We do this together. I submit to Him. Now, does our Lord Jesus lead by example? Does He show us by living example how to live? And when He says, follow me, what does that mean to you? As you and I were reading through the Old Testament, this Friday we read Job 21:14-15. And when I read it, I said, this is what my culture says. Listen, yet they say to God, leave us alone, exclamation point. We have no desire to know your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve Him? What would I gain by knowing His ways and praying to Him? Does that sound like our culture? God, just leave us alone. I don't want to know your ways about marriage. I just want to do it the way I want to do it. Who is this God trying to tell me how to run my marriage? Right? What is the value of me praying to Him? There is a great value in this. Now, when you talk about submitting to Christ and submitting to others, could I always try to be the first one to submit in marriage? Now, when you play a game, it's always, who gets to go first and when is it my turn, right? That's the fun part of the game is when it's my turn. See, in submission, it's always your turn. You don't have to wait for anybody. You can always submit to Christ first. You can always submit in marriage first. And you can live with an attitude like, how could I serve you? Honey, sir, how can I serve you today? What can I do to help you? How can I make your life easier? See, if we lived like that, our marriages would be the ones that people say, I want that one. Now, I have this cute little acrostic. It's joy in my life is Jesus is first. Jesus is always first. Others are second. And because people get so goofed up in their priorities of others, I listed them for us. First is your husband or your wife and your husband. Second is your children and your grandchildren. Third is the rest of your family. And then fourth are your friends and your work. And then lastly is you. Jesus, others, you. That's how it works, and that's how you have joy in your life. But I bet you if you look at that list of priorities, you can think of people who Jesus isn't first. Just under point two, others. You can think of people that their children are more important than their spouse. That their work is more important than their spouse. When you look at their lives, you can see people who do that. You can see people that, well, my mom or my dad need me more than you. Right? And they put family members in front of their husband and wife. You always put Jesus first, others second in that priority order, and you last. And that will truly give you joy in your life. Now, I've designed a diagram to try to draw this so you could understand it. First of all, we'll put Christ right in the center. And that little circle represents the physical life of Jesus Christ. And when He walked this earth, He always submitted every day in everything to the will of His Father. He always did his Father's will, and that's represented by the cross. Now, you add a second person, we'll call this the wife. And in her life is a little throne. Inside, in each one of us, it's a Campus Crusade for Christ concept diagram. Inside of you, there's a throne, and you know whether Christ is sitting on that throne or whether you are. Nobody else can tell, but you know. And then we'll add the husband. And he also has a throne in his life. That either he is the king of his kingdom and he rules, or Christ rules. And even though these people know Christ and they have the Holy Spirit, they don't submit and surrender to the Holy Spirit like Paul has talked to us about in the first four chapters of Ephesians. So what happens then is there's conflict in marriage. But there is a way to have one kingdom. Just one kingdom. In that kingdom, Christ rules. And when the wife submits and comes into that kingdom, it looks like this. And when the husband submits and comes into that kingdom, it looks like that. And it actually becomes, at a certain point in time, to where you can't see any of the individuals. But that's the secret to success, is Christ is on the throne in your life, and you're one with Christ, and you're one with your marriage partner. Now, sometimes what I've experienced in 20 years of counseling is that one of the two members will come to that point, and the other one will resist. Well, that's okay. Just stay there. Eventually, God will get it right. But he's so patient, he doesn't have to do it right now. He can take his time getting it done. But in your part, you can always be the first to submit. So let's take a look at Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in some things, right? And in the things that's easy, right? The things that they really want to. No, it's everything. You have to submit to Christ and your husband in everything. And when you look at the text, you'll see that there's three sentences to the girls, but when you look down, there's like 11 or 12 to the guys. So girls, you really got the best end of the deal on this thing. So ladies, submit first to Jesus. I submit myself to Jesus. I submit myself to my husband. Now this is a volitional act of your free will. You don't have to. And no Christian husband can force you to do that. You voluntarily submit. You do it yourself. You submit to Jesus and you submit to your husband. Now, my husband is the head and I am the body. Now, can a head exist separated from the body? My Independence Friday night movie was The Patriot. And Mel Gibson was leading people into battle and the British set an 8-pounder and it took the head right off the shoulders of a guy's body that walked another two steps before he fell. But the head can't survive apart from the body, and the body can't survive apart from the head. Is that been the experience you've had? Now, why in marriage is there a general tendency to try to function as independents? Here's why. In Genesis chapter 6, you see the problem. When the woman first saw the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable to gain wisdom, she took some and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was there with her, and he ate. I've heard preachers go on and on that it's all the woman's problem. If the woman wouldn't have wanted something that she didn't already have, if the woman wouldn't want to have been smarter than her husband, we wouldn't be in the problem. But I would present to you that that may be part of the problem, but the real problem is that her husband was there watching her talk to a snake and didn't defend her, didn't say, now, honey, let's just do like Dave Ramsey says. Let's just walk away and let's sleep on it 24 hours. Let's just think about it. And if it still looks good to us tomorrow, you know, then let's go ahead and buy. Right? You know what Dave Ramsey said? But he didn't. He saw her talking to a snake. He didn't defend her. He didn't stand up for God. And the reason I think that's the real problem is this. In Genesis 2, which is before Genesis 3, by the way, 21 through 24, so the Lord God caused a man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib taken out of man, and he brought her to the man. So, who was there first, the man or the woman? The man is always going to be first. Because no matter how many men come out of woman, man was there first. Now, here's what the man said. This is bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called, whoa, man, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. They become one flesh. Now, when you're reading Job with me, why is it that when Satan is allowed to attack Job, the wife gets off scot-free? She's not like the children. She's not like the camels. She's not like everything else. Why could not Satan touch the wife? Because God said, you can't touch Job. And she's one with Job, so you can't. Now, I have heard preachers say that Job would have been better off if God would have let him take the wife. Right? Yeah. I don't think so. It's always better to have your wife. Oh, the good joke I heard yesterday that doesn't really fit, but I just want to tell you anyway. Abraham, when he went to sacrifice his son at 12, remember that? He did that because by the time he's 13, wouldn't be a sacrifice. Okay, back to the outline. So, we submit. Then the wives submit. Now, I've done a number of discipleship counseling things with marriage couples over 20 years. And one thing that I've seen happen a lot of times in that area is that the man does his investigative research. He does the due diligence. He thinks, I'm getting the wife that I want. And he figures, when I get married, nothing's going to change. But the wife says, as soon as we get married, he's going to change. Right? I've seen that happen countless times. So, here's the deal. Wives surrender to their husbands. Now, you don't become a doormat. I'm not saying that. You need, as the body, to be feeding information to the head so the head can make an intelligent decision. But the problem is when the wife thinks they're the head, not just the body. Now, they feed that information. They trust the Lord. They trust their husband. And so it works well. So, the head and the body. Now, is my body giving information to my head right now? Yeah. And if it gives me accurate information, I can make intelligent decisions. But if it's not, I can't. C on your outline says we are one. So does that mean if a husband and wife have something that they don't agree on, let's say it's money, they don't agree on the spending of money, does that undo what God has done? What if it's about sexual relations and they don't agree? Does that undo what God has done? What if the children are working as best they can to divide the family? Does that undo what God has done? No, but oftentimes you will hear husbands or wives say, well, we're divided on this issue. Oh, no, you're not. You're one. You just don't happen to agree yet. See, the problem is not that we're divided. The problem is simply we don't agree. So we seek God's wisdom. We study the scriptures. We submit and surrender to Him. And then we experience the oneness of this wonderful life. And then in Ephesians 5:33, it says, however, each one of you also must love his wife as himself. Now, after the comma, and the wife must respect her husband. So the last thing that a wife does is she respect, is your blank, my husband. So your first blank is myself. Your second blank is head and body. Well, I guess that would be two and three. And your fourth blank is one. And your last one is respect. I respect my husband. Now, Julie and I lived in Myrtle Beach, Carolina for a while. And on 9/11, she had an airplane ticket to fly home. But she didn't get to get on the airplane. The next day, we were counseling people and we were dealing with the massive grief of the disaster that happened to the Twin Towers. And Julie and I were ministering to somebody. One of the ladies said, "Well, Julie, what would you do if you were there in the mess of the Twin Towers?" And she quite quickly said, "Oh, I just sit down." The lady says, "What? Oh, I just sit down. Bill always comes and finds me. He'll recklessly ride in on something and scoop me up, and he always comes finds me. He always bails me out. I just sit down." And the lady looked at me, and she'd seen the way I rode my motorcycle, and she'd say, "Yeah." But Jules respects me. And whenever I try to spell that, I find myself singing the Aretha Franklin song, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. Lady, you do not know how much that means to your husband. If second only to the Lord of all lords, the King of all kings, you respect your husband, that means a lot. Most guys spend all their life being afraid of failing and afraid of not being successful. But when they can come home to a wife that respects them and loves them and helps them as a helpmate, not another combatant, oh, you can take on the whole darn world when you got a helpmate like that. So, in this, ladies are to surrender and men are to do way more than that. Here's what it says to the men in Ephesians 25 through 33. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing through the water of the word to present her to himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one hates his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are all members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as himself, and the wife must respect her husband." So, gentlemen, we carry the larger load. Here's A on your outline. I love my wife more than myself. Not somebody else's wife, my wife. I love my wife more than me. Gentlemen, would you take a bullet for your wife? Or would you be like Osama bin Laden and pull your young wife in front of you as a shield? If I was one of those SEALs, I would have fired a warning shot right between his eyes. Gentlemen, would you take a bullet for your wife? On a daily basis, would you like the cowboys bite the bullet for your wife? Remember in the cowboy movies when they were going to cut something out, they'd put the bullet in his mouth and he'd bite on it so he doesn't yell. Will you bite the bullet for your wife? Rather than yell, will you bite the bullet and submit to Christ and pray for her rather than fight with her? Do you love her more than you love yourself? In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus speaking here, he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, the life of Jesus, a gentle, humble life, is light and easy. Now, if you're experiencing trouble in your marriage, it's because Proverbs says the ways of the transgressors are hard. The ways of Jesus and God are easier. The standard for us, gentlemen, is high. We are to love our wives and give ourselves for our wives the same as Christ for his church. So that leads us to B on the outline. I give is your blank. I give myself up for her. I try to do more for her on a daily basis than she does for me. If she mentions, oh, I'd really like to have this done, that's the top of my to-do list. No matter how many things I had to do, I put her first. I put aside my own interests and take care of her and the children first. And then after I get them all tucked in bed, then I go to the garage and get my stuff done. Or I go do what I need to do. But she comes second only to Christ in my life. Now, C on your outline says, I am to clean. Clean is your blank. I am to clean her by the washing with the water of the Word. And gentlemen, this is a warm bubble bath shampoo. No fire hose, power hose washing allowed. It's a gentle, warm, loving shampoo. I encourage my wife in her study of the Bible. I encourage her in Bible studies with other ladies. And I encourage you, gentlemen, to be on the same page with your wife. Julie and I are reading through the Bible together on the pattern of the Gideons that I offered all of you. And then every day, we're in the same section of Scripture. And we can talk about what God's showing us in Job. Or we can talk about what God's showing us in Acts. So be on the same page as her, gentlemen. D, because I love my wife, I take care of myself. I often see men in our culture harping at their wives to lose weight, go on a diet. And you look in this fat-bellied, out-of-shape jerk is telling his skinny little wife to go on a diet. Gentlemen, it's the wrong way around. Take care of yourself because you love her. E on your outline, I am one with my wife. We are one flesh. I'm on the same team as Julie. A few years ago, Julie had the interest in football. It was something about high school football, and she wanted to learn what all of the signals were and the different things that were going on. And one day we got into a conflict, and I said, you're clipping. You clipped me. And she says, no, wait a minute, Bill. Isn't clipping something you do to the other team? Yeah. Well, I'm on your team. I couldn't clip you. Oh. So she says, if one of the people on your own team does something stupid and clumsy and falls into the back of you, it's not a penalty. They just were stupid and clumsy. I just smiled and walked away. What could you say? Right? We're on one team. We're not divided, no matter how the world, the flesh, money, culture, children, no matter how people want to divide us, we're one. And I know that. And I work from that oneness. She knows that. She works from that oneness. We're not divided because we don't agree on how to spend money. It's not a division. It's just a disagreement. And we keep searching Christ, waiting for His Spirit to reveal, and then when He responds, we do. So, and then F on your outline, our marriage, our is your blank, is the illustration of Christ and the church to the world. Is your marriage one that demonstrates to the world the wonder of Christ and the church? See, wives and husbands who surrender to Christ's Holy Spirit, they enjoy the life God intended for them. And that's the key. Is Christ. It's not Oprah. It's not Dr. Phil. It's not the pop psychology or the culture. It's Christ. He and His Holy Spirit is a significant thing. Now, wives are to surrender. Gentlemen, you are to die. Girls say, oh, I got to surrender. Yeah, the other guy's got to die. Which one do you want to do? And it's a slow, painful death, gentlemen. You have to die daily, just like Christ. You come to your Father, oh, Father, isn't there some other way we can do this? okay, not my will, but your will be done. And you come out of that with joy because you know God's going to honor your obedience to die for your wife. You die to your flesh. You die to yourself, gentlemen, and lead your wives in that. Don't point out to them their problems. Deal with your own. First, lead by example. Demonstrate. Demonstrate to the world what this can be like. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for making us part of your family and for giving us your perfect, holy, inspired word that has every answer for every problem in life. I pray that we would seek you diligently, surrender to you, study your word, and humbly and gently apply these truths to our lives, and that you would transform our individual experience with you, transform our marriages to where people would say, I want to be like them. I want what they want. I want what they got. I don't want him or I don't want her. I want that kind of a marriage. And equip us as individuals, even as Marty and I have a desire to design a ministry to minister to marriages, allow us the privilege of accomplishing that. Change our marriages, change our culture, one marriage at a time. And sir, start with me. Start with mine. And I pray that that would be the prayer of each man here. Lord, start with me, sir. And then help me lead my wife, my children, and my grandchildren closer to you. And Lord Jesus, we ask it all in your name. And we thank you so much that you didn't leave us without resources or without the ability, but you gave your Holy Spirit to us to accomplish it. We worship you. We pray to you this Independence Day weekend in Jesus' name. Amen.